Blog Talk Radio. The perfect job, prosperity, or the road to good health? Science has proven that our bodies are made up of a complex energy system called chakras. These chakras can be tuned up just like a car. Imagine if your car was not running correctly. Would you just sit back and assume it would magically fix itself? If your refrigerator stopped cooling, do you think you would just wait and see what happens, or would you be afraid that all your food would spoil and call a repairman? Chakra clearing and balancing is the same thing. When things are not going right in your life, whether it's your love life, your career, your bank account, or your health, can you afford to just sit back and wait and hope that somehow it will simply just correct itself? Chakra can even help the most stressed out person regain their sense of calm and inner serenity, regardless of what's going on around them. You can get a full chakra clearing and realignment long distance over the phone by calling 1-800-375-3446. That's 1-800-375-3446. We'll be happy to clear and balance all your chakras. Look forward to tomorrow. A chakra clearing does take 1 hour time. We look forward. Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny, and I'm here with my co-host,
Miss Jessica.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in again tonight. I especially want to send out a huge thank you to all our listeners, because, Jessica, I haven't even told you this. Since we started airing the show, our numbers have increased in this month 500%.
No way.
Yeah, of listeners.
Well, that's awesome. Awesome.
That's because of all the kind people out there tuning in. So I want to thank everybody for doing that.
Thanks,
truly,
everyone.
Truly appreciate it. Tonight's topic is fear. Where does it come from? And how we cannot let it control our lives. It's a good topic because you're going to learn a couple of things tonight. One of the things that I thought was kind of shocking is that you're born with only two fears. Okay, there are only two things that are actually programmed into your DNA that you should be afraid of. And beyond those two things, every other fear that we have is what we call a learned fear or learned trait. And here's the best part. Even though fear seems to affect almost every decision we make in life every single day, it's a learned trait that we can unlearn. Okay, so we can actually unprogram ourselves not to depend on fear to run our lives. So that's going to be
interesting. I would love that.
I'm really excited because, you know, these are topics that I deal with every day, but always before the show, I spend hours making sure that I research every little thing about it, that there's something new I can bring or maybe some idea or thought process to help someone. And I think there's some interesting things that we're going to talk about today, so that'll be good. And as always, we're going to be taking live calls and doing some mini angel readings, so please make a note of the call-in number. It's 323-679-0882. That's 323-679-0882. That's our call-in number. Please feel free if you're looking for a mini reading or just want to make a comment on our topic of the week, or even if you have some advice, go ahead, give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. And, of course, the chat room is now open. It's live, so if you want to ask a question in there, we have gotten pretty good now at going to it and actually reading the questions and responding. So we'll try and read those live on the air today as well. So, Jessica, how are you doing this week?
I am doing great. Had another busy week, like usual. You and I had an interesting experience. Actually, what day was that?
I don't know. What experience are you talking about?
We went to a restaurant. That was Friday night.
Okay.
I know you read about Celtic music that we were going to go see at this great restaurant.
Right.
And it was going to be crowded, and we rushed out there. And why don't you tell the listeners happened?
Put the burden on me to share that fun story. It was... Well, first of all, I should say that, you know, Jessica, her mom and my mom were best friends. And they used to go to, like, their job, I think, when they
with
were the both
search out
restaurants. Yeah, and the biggest joke to me always was that, remember the one place that they thought was the greatest? Was it Wednesdays at the Winter Park Memorial Hospital?
Oh, that's right.
They used to say, oh, the food there was so good, and the prices, they're so cheap. And
I draw the line at eating at hospitals.
You know, it's my least favorite place to go. But they used to, so every Wednesday afternoon was like Winter Park Memorial Hospital Food Day, and they used to rave about it. But they used to collect restaurant menus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever they went, so like my mom had a draw of like a couple of hundred menus,
you know?
And it was so funny. And so then whenever they found some place that was really good, she'd tell my dad, and she'd make my dad go back with her, and it was really funny. And I did the same thing. So this place that we went to in Lake Helen, I had gone to with you first, and I dragged my husband back there, and he really liked it. And we had gotten a newsletter. It's in Lake Helen, Florida. And what makes this building, this place, so cool is that it was built, it used to be a storage facility for the city of Lake Helen.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got some history on it, and I'm, forgive me because I won't have all the names of the grants right, but it was just this little, like, big, you know, with big bays. It was a garage, and they used it for the Department of DOT.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so that's what it was used for. And then somebody said, you know, we have all these youths here, and we have nothing for them to do, and we don't want them to get in trouble. I think they had one murder in Lake Helen in the last 80 years.
It's
you have to admit, it's a really awesome... they have old Victorian homes.
It's a beautiful area.
Really, really neat. The police department, I know 20 years ago they had one policeman. I think they're up to four.
Booming.
But anyway, so they applied for these grants, and they ended up opening up, it's called the Creative Arts Cafe. And as you know, you go in there, and the whole place looks like a theater. And then they have this little stage up front, but it's, like, really cozy and quaint, and the people that work there are the warmest, nicest people. I mean, half the time I expect they're going to pull up a chair, sit down, and just, you know, they don't know you from Adam, but it doesn't matter.
They were super friendly.
Really warm. And so in any event, I had gotten this flyer from up there, and it had said Celtic night. Actually, it said bluegrass on Friday nights. And I said, well, you know, my husband was going to watch the game because we all know that all the games are on,
right?
Okay, well, I'm going to watch the game. So if you want to do something, now's the time. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll go up there. So we went up there, and we were really excited about it.
Yeah, because we thought, oh, my gosh, you know, bluegrass music, which we found out was going to be Celtic music. And
Yeah. What happened
well,
to that?
Well, we pulled into the parking lot, and there were maybe three cars where we thought, oh, my gosh, we're not going to be able to find a place to park. It's going to be so crowded. We pulled in, and we're looking around going, maybe this is the wrong place. But we went in, and there were maybe, what, how many tables full? Three?
Three.
And there were three people playing violins.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting.
And they didn't talk to each other. No, okay, but you know how, like, you go to something? I'm sure our listeners have been there. Like, you're like, oh, this is going to be really crowded. It's Celtic music. This is going to be so much fun. And originally I heard it was supposed to be outside, and you were supposed to bring blanket and chairs.
Yeah, that would have been great.
And we threw the kids in the car. We had foldable chairs with us, and then, you know, it was inside. And
the food is wonderful.
The food is great, and the music was – it was –
The music was good for – it just wasn't what I expected.
It wasn't what I expected either, but it was – I mean, it was enjoyable.
It
and
was.
I actually made some iTunes – well, I call it iTunes. I recorded it in my iPhone, and I played it for my husband. He thought it sounded great. He said he wants to go to the next one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you guys do that.
Yep. No, you know what it was? It just wasn't what we were expecting. We're going to get in trouble here. It wasn't what we were expecting.
Right,
so,
right.
So that was pretty much it. But I want to jump over to the chat room real quick because I see Susie is in there. And she says, hello, Miss Jessica.
Hey there,
she's sending
Susie.
A shout out. Yeah. She's saying, well, you can hear. Like, I'm going to, yeah, okay.
I can hear.
I'm going to translate it for you. Okay. Sounds good. All right. So, that was pretty cool. That was a neat experience. And I think I would like to go back and see what they're playing another time. But I'm not so sure that I'm going to have the chance to go back anytime soon because it's about a 30-minute drive for here. And Friday nights get pretty hectic in our
house. Well, hey, I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I checked out your Facebook this week, and I noticed you're honoring Irma Bombeck all week.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember something way back in those brain cells about someone comparing you to Irma Bombeck. What is that story?
God, you're Irma.
Yeah,
those
brain cells are still working.
You remember a lot of things that I hear on this
crazy,
show.
Crazy, right?
You're going to start remembering stuff that's not good. That's probably a bad thing. Irma Bombeck was my all-time favorite writer. She made the ordinary funny, you know. And she actually, the date of her birth was, I think she was born 1927, I believe. I may stand correct on that. But she passed away on April 22nd in 1996. And she was so awesome. I mean, here's the thing about Irma Bombeck, okay? She was funny. And she wrote about little things, like, that were funny, touching, meaningful, or silly, but it was like having a conversation with a girlfriend, you know, where you're sitting there talking, and she would just had such comedic timing in her writing. And I remember the first time I saw her on a talk show, and I think it was, if anyone remembers, I believe, and again, I might stand correct on this, I think it was Dinah Shore. Do you remember?
Oh, I remember Dinah Shore,
okay.
Yeah.
This really ages me. I want you to know I was in my mother's womb when I...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right, yeah. But she was on Dinah Shore, and they were talking about always her battle was always trying to lose, you know, 10, 20 pounds. And she said, I don't want to lose too much weight. I just want to lose enough weight that I can hang my purse off my hip bones. And I remember thinking that was so incredibly
funny.
But that was typical Irma Bombeck, and I put quotes every week on my Facebook, and anyone who wants to join my Facebook, by the way, it's under Ginny Counselor. Go ahead, because they wouldn't let me put Dr. Ginny. They don't let you do that, you know. So it's under Ginny Counselor. If anybody wants to do that, please go right ahead, and I'll be, you know, friend me, and I'll be happy to friend request you right back. But she had some really great quotes, which I'll read a couple of them quickly. Insanity is hereditary. You can catch it from your kids. If a man watches 3 football games in a row, he should be declared legally dead.
I like that one.
I like that one, too. I love this one. You know, and at that time, this was a little, she wrote, the only reason I would take up jogging is so I could hear heavy breathing again. Isn't that great? These are great. And then this is the one, seize the moment. Think of all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart.
There, that's one that I love.
That's one I really love. She wrote a lot of stuff. And one of the things she wrote is, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left, and I could say I used everything you gave me. And I've got to say this. She wrote 6 pieces in just under 3 weeks and immediately shot up to superstardom because she was offered syndication off of just those 6 pieces that she wrote that appeared over a 3-week time span. And that's amazing. And she went on to, I think it was in 1970, I believe she was in over 900 newspapers and had 30 million readers.
Wow.
I mean, that's like... You know,
amazing.
And, you know, you hear people who get so well known. A lot of times you see actors and actresses and you're like, oh, wow, they just hit it big. Good for them. What you don't see is all the time and struggle and effort they put into it. And I'm not saying she didn't. She put effort, but it was really just 6 articles in 3 weeks and boom, because she was such an incredibly
talented
woman.
And everything was so funny.
Well, without a doubt. And so I have to say that maybe when she did stand before God, she probably did use all of her talent because she left it all with us, which was a great gift. But what you were saying to me is, I will tell you this. In 1996, I was living just outside of Columbus, Ohio, and I did not know at that time that Irma Bombeck was born, I believe, in Athens, Ohio. And I had no idea. And I had written a piece for the Columbus Dispatch as a response to something I'd read in the paper earlier in the week. It was just supposed to be funny, and it kind of was, you know. And I got a call from the editor, and he said he was going to run the piece, and he said it was very amusing, and it was very reminiscent, he said, of Irma Bombeck's writings. And he said that's someone I had the pleasure to work with in the past. And then he asked if I would submit some more material that he would review and maybe run. And I was so overwhelmed, I mean, with absolute joy to have my name mentioned in the same sentence.
Yeah, what a compliment.
It was like, and I said, well, I'll certainly think about it. And I never submitted any more articles because I felt that, you know, if he really ever read anything else I wrote, he'd realize I couldn't put 2 sentences together with scotch tape. But I was just, you know, it was just such an honor. Just, I mean, that was like the coolest thing in the whole world. But even though I just want a shout out, Irma Bombeck was great, and her son has put together her family, but I know her one son especially works really hard on it. He put together a wonderful website, and you can go to that. It's www.irmamuseum.org. That's IrmaMuseum.org, and he has all kinds of really cool stuff on there, and he's got a couple of interviews that she did live. She was on the Today Show. She had a long run on the Today Show. She used to say she wrote into Good Housekeeping and told them that she thought dust balls were wonderful because she had them under her bed, and it was a great thing for the kids to play with because they never got hurt. And she thought they should start giving them away in cereal boxes, something like that. And she said they canceled her subscription to Good Housekeeping. Just funny little stuff. So, God bless Irma Bombeck. May she rest in peace. All right, so in just a little bit here, we're going to do some live mini angel readings. Again, the call-in number is 323-679-0882. Please only give your first name, not your last name, but please give your real first name. We want to be discreet, so we don't want to give any of your personal information out over the airwaves here. So we'll be able to give you an answer, but the answer will be not too in-depth because, again, we don't want to reveal any of your personal, you know, information out over the airwaves. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to actually go to an on-air caller right now. If I can figure out, because I've lost my connection here. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to go to an on-air caller right now, only because I know we've had so many in the last several weeks, and I haven't been able to get to all of them live. And so now I'm on live with Natasha. Natasha, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Natasha? Thanks for calling
Doing
in.
Doing good. And I just want you to know that I remember Dinah Shore also. So.
So you were in your mother's womb too, right? Because you're real young.
I am.
God bless.
I am.
Well, how can I help you today?
I have a relationship question. You know, I got into an argument with, like, my buddy, and him and I had an awesome chemistry. We were, like, best buds. We spent a whole lot of time together, and we got into a really ugly argument back in February, and we have not had any contact or any communication since then. And I just wanted to ask what you see on where this might be going. Is this the end of a good friendship, or do you feel him reaching out to me and coming back into my life?
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is, and I think you'll probably agree with this, when it comes to a friendship, how long were you friends with him?
Oh, gosh. I met him initially in 2005.
2005, okay. I'm going to tell you why I'm asking that question is because, okay, I'm going to say something that you probably well know, okay? It's very hard to have a best friend who is of the opposite sex, right? You know this already, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it causes, go ahead.
I should clarify, I did have a romantic relationship.
I'm sorry, you said
I
you
guess
did
I
not?
Should. No, we did. We did have a romantic relationship.
But then it went to just friendship, correct?
No, it went from friendship to a romantic relationship.
Okay. And now that things have kind of gone by the wayside, you're wondering, is it going to go into something? Are you going to go back to friendship? Do you wonder if you're just going to go back to friendship, or are you going to have a relationship with him again?
If I'm going to have a relationship with him again.
Okay. I hate to tell you this. I believe that romantic relationship probably will not come about again. And there's a couple of reasons why. There was some stress at the end of the relationship, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And some emotional issues. And I can see that one of the things it caused for you, again, correct me if I'm wrong here, you had a lot of trouble sleeping after this whole thing went down, correct?
I had a lot of trouble focusing throughout
mm-hmm.
the day.
We feel like you're
good.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to step on you when I talk. We have a delay on the line, and sometimes the delay takes longer, so I apologize for that. That's why we're talking over each other. You listeners, you don't realize that, but when somebody comes in, it seems like the person's done, and so we both go to talk at the same time. So I'm sorry about that, honey. Go right ahead. Continue. I didn't mean to step on your words.
No, I apologize also. I had a lot of problems just focusing and just staying focused throughout the day because I just took this burden on myself, you know, about worry, you know, just worried about my relationship with him, so...
You're worried about your relationship with him, but you're also fearful that it may not – you're fearful of two things, and I'm going to say this. You felt like he was the perfect person in your life at the right time, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And
yes.
The other thing that I'm seeing here, though, is that there were some – you guys were good friends, so you kind of knew what he was all about, right? But then when you got together, you saw a side of him, I'm seeing that you weren't – there was something you didn't expect to see that you found out about him, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask you this question, that you don't think that you've lost something that was, you know, meant to be and you're not devastated over that. I'm going to ask you this question. Weren't there times that you actually sat there and say, wow, I didn't expect this in a romantic relationship with him?
Yes, there were times.
Yeah.
There were times. I also felt, I guess because of my character and the person that I am, that that I was willing to, you know, walk the road with him and, you know, get over whatever little issues we had.
Mm-hmm. However, this is what I'm, and I wasn't gonna say you had, it was more or less issues that he had. He had some issues that needed to be dealt with, correct? They only became your issues because you had to deal with the repercussions of those issues. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Without
yes, I do.
Saying it out over the airwaves. Exactly. So what I'm going to tell you is that those issues you were willing to overcome, I think you probably recognize that at this point that he wasn't willing to overcome them, you know? And I'm going to say something else here. I think that you two can once again be friends down the road, but I don't see that you're going to be in an intimate relationship with him, because I feel that the changes that he needs to make are more important to you than they are to him. You know what I'm talking
yeah.
about? Okay.
I do.
So here's the thing I can say. Don't mourn the loss of the relationship, because time will heal that and you can go back to being friends again. And in a way, your friendship could be closer than it's ever been, because you truly know the good, the bad, and the ugly about each other. You know what I'm talking about. And because of that, it can bring you closer together as friends, although you do recognize now that you could never be, man-wife, boyfriend-girlfriend because of those issues. But you'll always have him in your back pocket, because here's the thing, he's kind of like your rock in a way, isn't he?
Yeah, we you know, when you use the term found each other at the right time.
Right.
In
yeah.
my life, we were each other's best company, so to speak.
And here's the good part. That part of the companionship will come back, but you need to go on another path to find the man who's right for you. And the man who's right for you should be a little less work than he was going to be. And again, I think if you think about that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The man that's right for you is going to be a lot less work, and it's going to be different in that you don't have to feel like you got to get out there with a weed whacker and start whacking away all. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I do.
All right. And that man will come into your life. Give it some time. Allow some time, A, for the relationship to come back naturally with your friend. Okay, but then also, as that comes back, I'm getting an R in a name. Does that have anything to do with him?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then I'm going to assume the R is coming from the new man that'll come into your life, because I am getting an R in the first name. Russell, yeah, something along those lines. So jot that down. Just put it aside for future reference. And that new man will come into your life, but give it time. Don't force any doors open. Let it happen naturally. Keep getting your life back on track, because you've been doing pretty good with that. Get your life back on track. The friendship will eventually come, and it will spurt back up again. And he will be that confident that you always had, and you won't have to deal with the issues. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not going to be issues that bother you, because you're not in a romantic relationship with him.
Right.
Okay, I hope this has been helpful.
It has. It has.
I know, you know, sometimes what we want isn't always what's best for us, and sometimes what we need we can't quite see, but it's just around the corner. You pray on it, give it some time, and I guarantee you what you need is going to come into your life at exactly the right time. Okay, Natasha?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you, honey. Many prayers out to you. Thanks for calling in. Sweet girl.
Yeah.
It's always hard sometimes. The people that we want in our life may not necessarily be good for us.
That
I know
is a fact.
Something that we've talked about many times on the show, and it can be really, really, really hard. But at the same time, we have to do what's best for us and follow the journey and
right.
the path that God wants us to follow, because that's the only way we're going to grow as people, and that's really important. Be right back.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty, yes you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 What you do to me. Hey there, Delilah, I know times are getting hard, but just believe me, girl, someday I'll pay the bills with this guitar. We'll have it good. We'll have the life we knew we would. My word is good. Hey there, Delilah, I've got so much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you would take your breath away, I'd write it all. Even more in love with me, you'd fall. We'd have it all. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 A thousand miles seems pretty far, but they've got planes and trains and cars. I'd walk. If I had no other way, our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along, because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never ever be the same, and you're to blame. Hey there, Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. Two more years and you'll be done with school, and I'll be making history like I do. You know it's all because of you. We can do whatever we want to. Hey there, Delilah, here's to you. This one's for you.
With the Christian Psychic Cafe. And as you all know, our topic tonight is fear. Where does it come from and how not to let it control your life? Also, at the end of the show, we're going to be doing a drawing because we've asked people, you know, to email us. We know that you always have comments, and you've all been so good about emailing us with your thoughts or comments or suggestions. So go ahead and email us, and every week now we're going to have a drawing for a free 30-minute in-depth angel reading with moi. And that'll take place, of course, you know, off air. But go ahead and send us an email. Even if you don't have anything important to say, just say, enter me in the drawing. So that's a good thing. And we're going to be drawing tonight from the emails that we've collected since last week. And also, we're going to go ahead and go down to our email box and check that out. We're going to do rock, paper, scissors. See who has to run down and do that. Ready? One, two, three, go. You win. I got to run down to the box. Okay, I'm going to run down to the box and get the mail. I know, it's ridiculous, and I love it. And by the way, I was paper, she was scissor. Okay, so...
Scissors always win.
Is it? Well, see, next time I'm going to be rock, it doesn't always win. Okay, we got a bunch here. I'll spray them, I'll fan them out, and you pick one.
Okay, let me pick this one.
Okay, you picked the one on top. That wasn't a pick. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. It says, hi, girls. I found your show on Blog Talk Radio, and I thought I would give it a shot. The topic sounded interesting. I can't tell you how incredibly relaxing the chakra healing was. Oh, by the way, this is from Melba from Marshfield. I never said that.
Marshfield,
that would help.
Marshfield where?
Marshfield, Massachusetts.
Marshfield, Mass. It's like MM. Okay. And what's her
Melba
first name?
From
Melba from Marshfield. I'm sorry. No, I don't mean to giggle at that. It just is very poetic. Go ahead.
Okay. Now I'll go back. I can't tell you how incredibly relaxing the chakra healing was. I have heard about this on many occasions, but to be frank, I had no idea what it was and probably would never have asked anyone. Thanks for helping me to relax after another very long day at work. Well, that was nice.
That was very nice.
And I think a lot of people probably felt that way because they didn't know what chakra was. And after your show, I mean, let me tell you, I am much more informed because that was great.
It was. I did receive many, many calls last week, and we did a lot of long-distance healings, and it was great. And chakra is just so calming, and it's so great that we had this way to bring it out to the public so they could hear it and realize it's not something to be afraid of. And we're, you know, again, fear, the topic of our show. Sometimes we're afraid to ask questions. Why? Because it makes us look stupid,
right,
we think. So we don't ask questions. And the reality is, always ask a question. It costs you nothing to ask a question, but could cost you much not to ask the question. So Melba from Marshfield, Massachusetts.
That's a tongue
twister.
I think
you're tired from just saying that, okay?
Melba, Marshfield, Mass.
Okay, I'd like you to say that.
Say that three times
straight.
Fast.
Really, I know, like Sally sells, she sells. See, I can't even say that. I'm only teasing.
I'm only teasing
Melba. You know that, and thank you so much for writing in. I'm going to go ahead and read the next one on top here, which is, dear Dr. Ginny, I have a question regarding something you said on the show 2 weeks ago. I was curious, do Christians, especially Catholics, believe in auras? Ah, thanks, and by the way, your show is great. Well, thank you very much for that, and this is from Pamela N. from Tucson, Arizona. Okay, so the question is, do Catholics or Christians, especially Catholics, believe in auras? Catholics do believe in auras, and we call them halos. And we know that Catholic, and I'll tell you why I say this. Catholic artists have been including halos or auras in their art since around about 400 AD. And an aura, or sometimes referred to as a nimbus or a halo, which is like from the Greek word meaning disc around the sun or moon, it's a ring of light that surrounds the holy or sacred person. And the church doesn't seem to have any official teaching on the subject, but the art that shows these halos have been hanging around the Vatican since the Vatican's been the Vatican. And I wouldn't think they'd have them there if they didn't, you know, see them. So I would say the answer to your question is yeah, because, you know, they're in the pictures hanging in the Vatican. And, you know, I don't think they'd have other things in pictures that they didn't believe in. So I would have to say yes. So thank you for your question, Pamela N. from Tucson, Arizona. Okay, you go ahead and read the next one.
Okay, let's see here. This is from MB, Duluth, Georgia. Dear Dr. Ginny and Miss Jessica, I have been a client of Dr. Ginny's for a long time and truly consider her a blessing. Since I have been listening to the show, though I realize I have no idea what Miss Jessica looks like, could you post a picture of her so that we can all put a face with the voice? That might be scary.
So I tell you what I'm going to do. During our next song, I'm going to go ahead and post it on the website, and everyone can go see it. And I'll tell you what page to look for it in just a second. But you're not allowed to click off the show. So, but I will post it, and it's not going to be scary at all. You silly girl.
Well, you know, sometimes you hear someone's voice, and you just picture something. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think you do. And I also think that we always like to put a voice with
right.
a picture or a face with the voice. And so many times it doesn't match, you know?
It doesn't.
I've had people come up to me at my shows, and they are like, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I know their energy, but I sometimes might envision them a little bit different,
right,
you know?
Right.
But yet, it's like I know them, you know. I was saying to somebody the other day, you know, if I've done, you know, a consultation with you, I think I was saying it on the phone today, and I see a number on the caller ID. It may not even say a name, but I see that number. I just, like, instantly know who it is.
Wow.
And that's kind of weird sometimes. I mean, not all the time. I had one the other day. It took me a while. I had to think about
it. That's cool.
But, yeah. That's pretty good. Well, I want you all to mark your calendars for next week, April 27th, because next week's show is entitled Saints, What's So Special About Them? Now, before you write in and complain, let me explain. Our show is going to tell you what they did to become saints, and let me tell you, this is going to knock your socks off because it shocked even me. When you start reading about some of the saints and how they became saints, what their quote-unquote miracles were, you'll be pretty shocked. And we're going to, you know, tell you why they became saints, and also why sometimes we ask specific ones to intercede on our behalf to God for specific life challenges. And you're going to love it, because these are saints that we've kind of all heard about, like St. Bernadette, St. Teresa, St. Anthony, St. John, St. Padre Pio, a lot of the saints that we all, you know, hear about and read
about.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear the background. That'd be interesting.
I think you'll find it's very, very interesting. We'll be right back. Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with Miss Jessica. And by the way, Miss Jessica, I was just peeking in the chat room, and I see that Sue has said, "I bet that Jessica has brown hair, shoulder length, beautiful face, height approximately 5'2", and slim. How am I doing?"
Wow, that's amazing. 5'2". I'm 5'1½", but everything else is exactly correct.
Go to the website. drginny.com, and you can see a picture. www.drginny.com, and go to the page marked radio and go to the very bottom, because I didn't have time to fiddle with it and I just stuck it on just now. So it says, Miss Jessica, co-host, Sue, you are psychic. Jay, you got a little bit of work because your guest was female, and that does not show great deductive reasoning. But God bless
you. I sure
you
hope
for
I sound like a female.
Otherwise, you got bigger problems,
yeah.
Right? Okay, let's talk about our topic, your fears. I kind of mentioned that you only have two natural inbuilt fears, a fear of, do you want to know what they are? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, let me
okay.
hear.
A fear of falling and a fear of loud noises. Now, these things were determined by scientists who actually did brainwave studies of children at birth to determine, you know, what fears they had.
Well, that makes sense.
Would expose them to certain things. Those are the only two fears that were built into your DNA and passed on from generation to generation as kind of like a survival mechanism. And their only purpose was to keep you alive by alerting you to, like, potential dangers and creating an emotion within you that would motivate you to avoid danger. Now, I want you to think about the implications of this and the fears that you currently have, all right? I want everybody for just a moment to think about fears that they currently have, all right? Are you afraid of a job situation? Are you afraid of speaking in public? Are you afraid that you're not getting dates because you're too fat, too thin, nose is too big, hair is too thick, too thin, eyes are too close together, eyes are set too far apart, that big mole? You know what I'm saying? In other words, we all have a fear, okay? Are we afraid to ask questions because of how it will make us look? So if you weren't born with those fears, where did they come from?
That's a good
okay.
question.
The answer is that at some point in your life, you did acquire those fears. Some event in your past caused you to associate a pain or a danger with whatever it is you now fear, and now you're strongly motivated to avoid experiencing those emotions again. Okay? In other words, it's what we call a learned fear. So the good news is that for anything you learn, you can unlearn. But first, you need to understand your fear, what caused your fear, and what options are available to overcome it. So let's kind of begin briefly by looking at the three main types of learned fear: external, internal, and what I call subconscious fear. Okay? An external fear is probably the most easily recognized. It's considered external because this type of fear is caused by something outside of you, which you're like strongly motivated to avoid. These are usually called phobias. It could include things like a fear of spiders, a fear of flying, a fear of rats. Who did I hear today? Tori Spelling was saying she had a fear of flying. Not because she had a fear of flying, because this was a fear that was put upon her by her dad. Aaron Spelling, when he was apparently Aaron Spelling of Charlie's Angels, 90210, whatever that show was, and many, many other phenomenal shows on TV, he, at the age of 18, was supposed to get on a plane and missed the flight because he was ill. That flight ended up crashing and everybody aboard died.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
And it was funny. It's always so funny how these things just show up on a day of a show because you can refer to them. So she has a tremendous fear of flying.
An experience like that, I can imagine.
But this happened to her dad when he was 18. Okay. She was not even alive at the time. So that fear was put upon her.
Right.
Okay. So that's an example of an external fear. These are fears that tend to occur after some kind of negative experience with your past, or it could be something that, again, somebody put upon you, something somebody told you about that caused you to have the fear. An example would be like as a child, people find spiders fascinating, and you look at them, and they're neat and interesting and all that. But then all of a sudden you're playing with that spider because you're not afraid of it, and all of a sudden it wraps around your finger and bites you.
Ew.
Suddenly you're going to have a great fear of spiders or frogs. I know a lot of men who are really afraid of frogs.
Isn't
and it cracks
that amazing?
Me, you too, right? Yeah, it cracks me up. And I don't mean to laugh. I'm not saying I'm laughing
at you.
Those
little tiny tree frogs.
I love tree frogs. They're the most adorable thing. And yet I know people who absolutely go into absolute panic attacks if a frog comes near them.
Oh, yeah.
They've probably had some kind of exposure. They probably were catching frogs as a child. Something happened, and now it's part of their subconscious, but it's also considered an external fear. There's everybody has external fears, okay? But they come from somewhere. You weren't born with them. And fortunately, external fears are relatively simple in principle to overcome. I'm not going to say it's the easiest thing, but if you have a lot of determination and courage, you can absolutely get over those fears. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then there's an internal fear. An internal fear is something outside of you that you link to a negative emotion, and that could be as a result of something that's inside of you. And this is the one I'm going to really talk a lot about tonight, because it typically manifests itself as low self-esteem, whereby you doubt your own ability and worth because of this, okay? Now, and I don't want everybody writing in or running home and accusing their parents. Low self-esteem is often a reflection of how your parents treated you as a child, the things that you experienced throughout life, okay? Now, it doesn't mean your parents did something wrong, okay? In the 50s, children were brought up a lot different than they were in the 70s and then the 80s and now in the 90s. But in the most influential years of a child's life in terms of character development, they're your early childhood and your teenage years. Because this is when your mind is most impressionable and still developing. So, like, I'll give you an example. I know there are times where I've even said to you, I've called you and said, oh, it was so cute, my daughter did this and my daughter did that, and she was copying something I did. And obviously, I didn't notice that it made an impression on her, but yet she was copying. I remember one day she wanted to, she was pretending she was carrying a briefcase. And I thought that was so funny because she'd seen me carry briefcases. Or they determine that they like or dislike foods that you like or dislike,
yeah.
Right? Now, I know your daughter is exactly like that,
she
too.
She dislikes, and when she was little, she loved sour cream, loved
yeah.
it,
yeah.
and loved whipped cream. And I hate both of those things. And now, as a teenager, she won't eat either of them.
Right.
Isn't
and that's
that
a learned trait. That's because she saw that mom doesn't eat it. Mom's smart. I'm impressed with mom. I respect my mom. Therefore, if it's not good for her, it's probably not good for me, so
right,
I'm not touching
right.
it. And that's kind of what goes on in their minds. And the thing is, you don't have to say it to them. They do this by watching. And then you say one time, I'm going to tell you something. I probably shouldn't say this on the air. I'm going to say this on the air. When my oldest was very young, you know when you take him into the bathrooms at, like, you know, Target or one of those stores? Well, she, you know, we'd be walking in, and I had one in the stroller, and then one she'd be going in, and I'd always want to go and make sure the seat was clean and all that, because men are much cleaner than women. And what happened was she, like, bolted into the bathroom, and it was really nasty and kind of wet, and she just stuck her hands on there and starts pushing it off. And I'm like, no, don't do that. We got to wipe it. You'll get germs. And well, that made such – that one time, it made such an impression on her. That I know that it stuck with her for years. She became like this germaphobe,
yeah.
And it was my fault. That was something I put on her. Instead of saying, oh, you know what, that's probably not a good thing to do. Let's go ahead and wash her. But I kind of like, oh, my gosh,
that's
freaked out.
Yeah,
sure it did. And so she learned that germs were really, really bad because mommy totally freaked out in the restroom at Target. So I proudly and not so proudly own that. So when they're very impressionable, we've got to be really careful what we say, and that's why they talk so much now about positive reinforcement when we're trying to turn a child away from something that's not healthy for them, okay? But it's important to understand that parents don't deliberately try to make their children fearful later in life, but we do so inadvertently through our efforts to raise them in the best way that we know how, usually treating us the way we were. You're treating them the way we
right,
were treated, right?
Right?
So one of the most harmful things a parent can do, and I know this, is to use destructive criticism far more often than they use praise. So, you know, they may spank their children, and again, I'm not a proponent of spanking.
Not
I'm a timeout person, and that has worked very well for me, and it is very challenging to do it that way, I know, but I have found that it works, but I'm not questioning anybody's parenting style. But a lot of people will spank their children and tell them you're going to go to the naughty chair. And these are done in an effort to get your child, you know, through life so that they learn to associate something they shouldn't do with pain. But even though discipline certainly is necessary and an important factor in raising your children, an overbalance of it can be destructive criticism and punishment. So, you know, ultimately, if you're not giving them a lot of praise and a lot of love, it leads them to having feeling of what I call inadequacy and insecurity. And because of that, They translate these fears into failure, rejection, lack of self-worth, self-doubt, and that's what causes the low self-esteem. Okay, so you got to remember, if I'm bad or if I don't do something right, I'm going to be a failure. People are going to reject me. People aren't going to like me because I did something wrong, so I've got to be perfect. And that leads to eating disorders. We see this all the time. And anyone who knows anyone who has an eating disorder, you know exactly what I'm talking about because it's something they hit on immediately. The good news is this, folks. By understanding and examining and learning to improve our own self-esteem, a lot of these internal fears can be overcome. Okay, we can literally reprogram ourselves to not have these fears. The third one I wanted to talk about is subconscious fears, and we're going to talk about that next in 2 and 2.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's a climb. I'm facing the chances I'm taking. Sometimes I knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most. Yeah, just gotta keep going.
Back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. Our topic tonight is fear, how we get it and how we cannot let it control our life and how to overcome it. And the next thing we're going to be talking about is our subconscious fears. Before I do that, though, I see that we had somebody that's been on the line quite a while. Her name is Stacy. So, Stacy, you're on live with Dr. Jenny. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
Good, real good. And you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for holding as long as you have.
Not a problem. We have a land for sale. I was wondering how much it will sell for and how long will it take for it to sell.
Well, okay, tell me just a little bit about the land, okay? It's vacant land, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's wooded acres.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's about 3 acres.
Okay. I'm going to tell you that I do see that the land is going to sell. I know that you're desperate for that land to sell right now. I get that, but I do see that the land is going to sell. Fortunately or unfortunately, I see you're going to be looking. I'm getting the number 6, so I think you're going to be looking at about 6 months before you see that land actually getting a contract that actually goes to closing. And I see that you're not going to have to take too much less for it than what you have it up for. Maybe about $1,300 less than what you actually have it up for, which is pretty good, I think, correct? Although I think you've already, let me double check this, you've already dropped the price on it, right?
Correct.
Okay. I'm seeing that you're going to be looking at about $1,300 less, and unfortunately, about 6 months. Now, I know somebody, do you have it listed with a realtor?
No, we don't.
Okay. Didn't somebody call within the last, like, 3 weeks or so? Did you get a call within the last 3 weeks on this piece of property? Has somebody expressed some kind of interest?
No.
You have not? Because I'm going to tell you why. I'm sensing that somebody has interest in this property. They just don't have the funds available to purchase it. Okay? So what I'm going to tell you is that could very well be the person that ends up purchasing it. I know that the person that's going to buy this land has to sell something that they already own in order to free up to get the liquid funds to be able to buy this piece of property. So that's kind of what's happening here. You know how we always say one piece of puzzle has to go in before the other piece? I think that's what's happening here. So give it 6 months, and I think you should be good to go, because I'm getting the number 6 really strong, and I'm not sensing that they're saying 6 weeks. I feel like it's more like 6 months.
Okay.
Okay, does that help?
That helps. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless. Thanks for calling in tonight. Okay, is there anything else I can answer for you?
What's in my future for me?
What's in your future for you? Be a little bit more specific. Are you talking about, are your finances going to be okay? Are you going to be able to pull through? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I believe we will. I'm hoping
you
we
will. You absolutely will. Yeah, you absolutely
okay.
will. The one thing I... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all right. After the store sells, what are my goals?
I
have no idea.
Really, you have no idea? Because I think you kind of do have an idea.
I do. I just...
I know you do. I know, because I can sense that you kind of do. It's one of those things that you're kind of... You know how you put something in your mind and you mull it around, but you kind of don't even want to express it because it's kind of a dream at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you kind of, and so you don't want to say it out loud because then someone might crush it. So you're kind of mulling it around. I'm going to tell you, mull it more, but bring it out to the forefront of your mind a little bit more. Okay? Bring it out a little bit more and allow yourself to think about it, because you see, what happens is when we keep it that far back, we don't think about it as rationally as we would. And then when we bring it out to the forefront, we can really take it and kind of turn it around in our mind and look at it from all angles and see if it's really a viable solution. You know what I'm saying? To making you happy, because you've reached the point in your life where you want to be happy, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
You got that right.
I know. And you want to do something that makes that's not economically rewarding, but personally rewarding for you, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to tell you is, quit mulling and bring it right out to the forefront of your mind and really start looking at it, because I feel very strong positive vibes towards what you're thinking about, okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You have a good evening.
Oh, you're welcome. Listen, God bless. Thanks for calling in. You have a wonderful night and a really nice Easter, okay?
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. That was yeah, good. I know she has something on her mind. I know she knows exactly what she wants to do, and she needs to be able to bring it out. We sometimes don't like to pull those things too far out of our head, because if we do, then we look at them and then maybe we're afraid our dreams will be crushed. But in her case, they're not going to be, so she needs to pull them right out, because that'll be a good thing for her. So back to our topic, fear and how not to let it control your life. We're talking about the third major kind of fear, which would be subconscious fear. Subconscious fear is a belief that has been accepted by your subconscious mind. And this is the toughest one, because usually this is a result of something you experienced or were told as a child. And the most common manifestation of a subconscious fear is what we call self-sabotage. Now, any of my clients listening tonight know that I've had several that have called in, and that's something we've talked about. Self-sabotage occurs when you begin to achieve more than your subconscious beliefs think you could achieve. So, for example, let's say you always seem to get close to success or even experience success for a short period of time, but then all of a sudden it gets all messed up. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, you say, oh, I have success, but I'm so afraid now because I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Things are too good. How many times have we heard from other people or from ourselves say, things are going so good in my life, I'm just really nervous right now because I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know? Have you?
Because you don't feel like you deserve all that happiness, you know?
Exactly, because your subconscious beliefs are sabotaging your life. And where in God's name, and I say God's name truly, where in God's name do we come off with this belief that we're not good enough to have great, wonderful, and fabulous things happen in our life? God didn't make us average. He didn't want us just to sit around and be mediocre. He wanted us to excel and be wonderful. And I got to tell you, the self-sabotage thought, we put that there. God didn't program it into our DNA. Like internal and external fears, self-sabotage tends to occur when some negative emotion is linked to a change or a particular event in your life. And as a result, those subconscious fears, they motivate you, at least on the subconscious level, this is important, to avoid a change or an event and go back to where you subconsciously believe you should be. This kind of plays a little bit on something called the Peter Principle. I don't know if anybody knows what that is. It's where certain people will only achieve a certain level of success because once they get to too high a level, it's beyond them, and people tend to aspire to too high. Well, that's because, and when I heard that Peter Principle, I just wanted to shake the author, because that's self-sabotage is what that is. And we get so high up that we get scared in our mind or subconscious self says, uh-oh, you can't be this good. You can't be this smart. You can't be making this much money. No one in your family has. Your parents never thought you were worthy of it. They're as shocked as you are. Why? Because you probably don't deserve it. Sabotage, sabotage, sabotage. And that's what happens. So a good example of this can be found with money. A large majority of lottery winners, and maybe you've seen these shows, and you see it on TV, on the cable networks all the time. A large majority of the people who win lotteries spend all of their money within a few years. Now, we're talking about people who are maybe getting by on 30, 40, 50, 60,000 a year, okay? And they had enough. They were getting by. Suddenly, they win $23 million. And within a few years, they end up right back where they started before they won the jackpot.
Which is amazing to me. How can that happen?
Because of their limiting subconscious beliefs that told them they were unworthy of the wealth. Their subconscious takes them back to the level that they subconsciously believe they should be getting, that they should be at, and they end up, you know, losing all the money. They literally either end up spending it or taking risky opportunities because they think, well, I shouldn't have had this in the first place. I probably didn't deserve it. I call it your subconscious thermostat, and your subconscious beliefs will always cause you, on average, to achieve a certain level of success or happiness in life, unless you take certain steps to adjust that thermostat. And let's kind of recap, okay, so that we all fully understand where we are. The external fear is something outside of you that causes some degree of pain or discomfort, like fear could include flying or, say, a fear of spiders or something like that. And it's usually caused by some negative experience you had in the past, which is, like, subsequently going to lead you to think of a negative emotion they're vital, motivate you to avoid it, okay? The internal fear is something outside of you that triggers an internal response, whereas, you know, you question your ability to do or achieve something. An example of this could be a fear of asserting yourself, and it's generally shown as a lack of self-esteem. Now, this type of fear usually occurs as a result of early childhood and teenage experiences, and this can influence these people because they're highly impressionable, and they're developing what we still consider a young mind, even as a teenager, and it's closely interrelated to our subconscious fears, which is the third one. The subconscious fears involve limiting subconscious beliefs that cause you to sabotage yourself when you are close to achieving something that's really great, you know, and then you say, I'm not worthy of achieving this. I'm going to self-sabotage myself. And I know a lot of you are thinking this, and you're right. We do this a lot in our relationships, you know. We do it all the time. There are a lot of women out there who have called into me, men as well, and the relationship gets to just a certain point, and it's going so good, and bam, it falls apart. And they wonder why. Why is it I can't have a good relationship? Why does every relationship I have seem to go south just when it gets to a certain point? Well, the reason is because of our subconscious self-sabotaging. And a lot of times we do this self-consciously, okay? We're controlled by our dominant emotions. And if you've been raised from childhood to be fearful or experience things in the past which created fear within you, then that fear will, to a varying degree, control your life and dictate every single one of your future actions. Does this make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense to me because it sounds a lot like me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we had a call almost every call that we have, when you think about it, is based on fear, some degree of fear at some point. And I remember the one that sticks in my head, and I don't know if she's listening tonight, but I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. She had this great job that she loved, that she was earning decent money, and she was so proud to go to work. And yet, her biggest fear was that job might end. So she was thinking about ending it before it ended her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the answer to that is do not let fear control your life, okay? Because usually a fear will come as some form of restriction in your life, which will prevent you from doing or achieving the things you would like to do. It'll prevent you from realizing your full potential. You know, every one of us has our own unique blueprint, and breaking free from the shackles of fear is the most awe-inspiring thing that you can do. And if fear is a natural reaction to avoid something, then the opposite to fear is a natural desire to experience or accept something. In other words, the opposite to fear is love. Plain and simple. When your life is driven by love, it is expressed as desire, and strong desires will always overcome any fears that you may have. I'll give you an example. If your house is burning down, a natural reaction would be to what? Fear.
Run.
That the fire would burn you. Okay? Okay, so you're going to fear it. However, now let me throw this in. If your son or daughter was inside the house, your love for them and the desire that created that love would more than likely be strong enough to overcome that fear, so you run in and save your child,
right,
regardless
of
what. Okay, so you see where I'm saying? Love can always overcome a fear. So for internal fears, love is expressed as self-love or high self-esteem. And it's a strong belief in yourself, your ability to do what you set out to do, regardless of any obstacles that may lie in your way. And this is where most people fall short, okay? When you truly love and believe yourself, your desire will be strong enough to overcome any fear that comes your way. And for external fears, love is expressed as a desire to experience something rather than to avoid it. It doesn't mean that you have to fall in love with the thing that you fear the most, but rather you accept it for what it is and are able to react appropriately around it. It means being able to control yourself rather than your fear controlling you, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. We all do fear things like that. So that's kind of important. We need to free ourselves from the shackles of fear, because it's really very, very important. We're going to get more on this, and we're going to learn how we can free ourselves through a very simple little tactic, a little exercise or drill, if you will, that was very eye-opening. So we're going to get back to that in just a second. We'll be back.
make me feel so good. How do we stay so long together? Everybody said we never would. And just when I start to think they're right, the love has died. There you go, making my heart beat again, heart beat again, heart beat again. There you go, making me feel like the kid. Won't you do it and do it one time? There you go, pulling me right back in, right back in.
I know, I'm going to do that every time. I love that song. It's my favorite. You're on the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with Miss Jessica, and we are talking about how fear controls our lives. We talked about the three things that ways fear has come into our lives and how it kind of takes hold of us. And we're talking about how our subconscious mind takes that fear and causes us to sabotage ourselves, self-sabotaging. And right now what I want to talk about is what we can do to change that. Because now that we know what it is, now that we know that we're not born with these, how can we change them? Jessica, any ideas?
Well, that's a very good question. I have a lot of fears when it comes to relationships, and I'm working on it, trying to be more confident in myself. I know a lot of my childhood issues kind of crop up through this relationship issues. So I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm. I think what you just said was right. We have sometimes beliefs that are programmed into our mind, successes or failures, and why that's happened. And I think that plays an important role.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know it has in my life, and Like I said, it's not easy. I know you said you have some little tricks to get through it, and I know I would definitely be interested in that.
Well, you know what? No matter what has happened and no matter what goes on in your subconscious mind, you can change it. And I know that a lot of people have said to me, you know, no matter what I do, no matter what kind of self-improvement I try, it never seems to stick. And one of the reasons for that is the subconscious mind rejects it. And here's the thing. It's the only way to change that is to learn to accept yourself and improve your self-esteem by creating a mindset that will permanently accept the improvements that you're trying to make. Let me give you an example. People say, you know, I try to make improvements, but nothing ever seems to stick. And it looks like I get going and then I get to a certain point and then it falls down and I don't get it. You know, why can't it work? Self-acceptance and self-esteem are kind of like, I look at them as intimately related, okay? Because the subconscious, how it works in with self-acceptance and self-esteem, it's a psychological issue. But I'm going to give you all something you can do right now, okay? To improve your level of self-acceptance, which then relates to your self-esteem, you need to make an honest assessment on its current level. Now, I want you all to understand this. To do this, now everybody, you're going to freak out on me, but to do this, you must stand in front of a mirror completely naked. And I'm not kidding.
I can't do that.
Well, you can do that not here, but in your own house. I want you to get naked here, but you can do it at home. And you can, I want you to stand, everybody, you know, do this tonight. And I want you to imagine yourselves right now, okay? I want you to be standing in front of your mirror completely naked in your mind, so that you can see your face and your body. And the aim here is to look at the very core of yourself as a person and see what feelings arise as you look at yourself. These feelings could be about your body or they could be about you as a person. But I want you to be open and receptive to what comes out. Now, as you're looking at yourself, what things are you thinking? I'm not going to put any suggestive ideas out there, but I want to know what you're really thinking as you're imagining yourself looking in the mirror, completely free of any clothing, anything that could get in the way, okay? I don't want you to focus on makeup or on your hairline or on jewelry or anything else. Ideally, you should really just envision yourself with absolutely nothing on at all, no makeup, no pretenses, okay? Anything else that you see yourself in is merely a mask, so that hides or alters the real you, and therefore it'll interfere with the process, okay? Now, to begin the process, as you're looking at your body, notice if this is difficult, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, okay? If you're like most people, you're probably going to see some parts of your body that you like more than others. That's okay, all right? You might find some parts of yourself difficult to look at because they make you feel uncomfortable. And if this happens, then this may indicate a pain that you do not wish to confront. Something, you know, you may have been denying or repressing or maybe evading the reality of that. Maybe you're too thin. Maybe you're a little too fat. Perhaps you see signs of aging and can't bear to stay connected with the emotions that these things cause in you. But whatever the discomfort you experience, the natural impulse will be to escape, to shift your awareness away, to reject it, to deny it, to disown it. This is the thing. No matter how difficult you find this exercise, stay focused on the image you see in the mirror. Now, as you're focusing on that image, I want you to say to yourself, whatever my imperfections are, I completely and without reservation accept myself. I say it again. Whatever my imperfections are, I completely and without reservation accept myself. Okay? The exact phrasing doesn't matter so much as you use a phrase you are comfortable with. Remember, the purpose of this exercise is to accept yourself fully for the person you are. And as you already know, this involves accepting the true reality of a situation, regardless of whether you like it or dislike it. And when you're saying this self-acceptance phrase to yourself over and over again, while looking at yourself in the mirror, start with your toes and finish on the top of your head, okay? Saying to each part of your body, I accept you for the way you are, okay? Then at the very end, look directly at yourself into your very own eyes. Hold your own gaze and tell yourself that you completely and totally accept yourself for the way you are. Okay? Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking right now, right? You're thinking, I want to skip over this body part. I don't like this. I'm, you know, and what you're saying is, look, I don't like things about my body. I don't like my nose. I don't like this about my personality. I how can I accept them? Okay, because that's what every single one of us are doing as I'm reading this exercise to you, which is why I kind of slowed up there a little bit in my speech, because I know everyone does it. And I remember way back in the day when I took a class that dealt with this, and they were talking about it, and they were saying, you know, I want you to imagine this, and you're imagining it, and in your mind, you're shaking your mind like, I'm not going to accept that because I don't like that about me, and isn't accepting it just accepting failure, right? Okay, this is very common. Everybody has areas that they don't like, okay? Most people who are very insecure, you know, they need to validate themselves some way, and they look at themselves in the mirror, and they just can't. And remember, the self-acceptance that we're looking for here does not necessarily mean that you have to like it or that you cannot change or wish for improvements. But without acceptance, you're likely to ignore or disown certain parts of your body, and so you'll do nothing about it. But accepting something about your body, your mind, or your personality gives you the power to become conscious of it and to affect a meaningful change. You see, once you accept it in your mind that, yes, this is what I am, this is who I am, this is what I have, this is what it is, you have to fully accept it. Once you fully accept it, it doesn't mean you have to like it, but that is me and I accept it. Then you can be motivated to change it, okay? And what you want to do is possible. This is a recognition and respect for reality. Because without being in reality, you cannot change it. You just can't change it. All right, so now you kind of understand the relationship between self-acceptance and self-esteem, because ultimately this relationship is a mind that loves itself and its body, okay? When you practice this several times, I'm serious, folks. You think I'm kidding, and this is not like a Saturday Night Live thing. Remember where it says, gosh darn, I like myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that. Well, that came out of, you know, some real scientific, psychological testing that was done. It's self-talk, but it works. But the number one key here, the key ingredient to change, is to know you've reached a high level of self-acceptance. You accept yourself as you are. Once you accept yourself as you are, okay, you're comfortable with it. You may not like who you are. That means, okay, I finally accept that this is who I am. I accept that I lose my patience all the time, and I know that's who I am. Okay, now that I've accepted it, I know what it is. Now I can start pinpointing it, and I can start making changes, start making improvements. It takes time to be completely comfortable looking at yourself. And when I say looking at yourself, I know a lot of people are thinking, well, I've got a great body. I don't mean me. I mean you. And they're thinking, you know, I'm looking at yourself at all the things that you see that make you unhappy about yourself. And I'm not saying this is easy. This can be an extremely difficult thing to do. But don't give up after one attempt. If you persist and accept the reality of your current situation, you'll be able to affect a meaningful change in your life. And you don't want to hide or disown pain that you have, okay? Because your self-esteem will never improve if you disown it or you hide it. Your reality will remain unchanged. And so all the things that you do, all the self-improvement techniques, guess what? You might climb up the right ladder and reach the number 10 rung, the very top, and when you're not looking, you're going to slide right back down because your subconscious doesn't think you should be there. But if you take yourself and see yourself for who and what you really are, and then take and accept that reality for who and what you are, and then start making meaningful changes that are very focused and very detailed, you will know you have earned those changes, and you will feel like you deserve the success that you're acquiring, okay? This is really important. You know, Michael Jackson, his lack of self-acceptance for his body ultimately led him to seek perfection through surgery.
Yeah.
Right? However, many would argue that he looked far worse before he died than he did.
Had he left himself alone.
Yeah. Right. And the point here is you got to remember, no one can be perfect, and our imperfections make us who we are. So I don't think anyone should seek absolute perfection. But lack of self-acceptance ultimately will always make you ending up far worse than where you are right now. That's for sure. That we know for sure. All right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a call here because we have somebody who's online. Hi, this is, I think I'm online with Cindy. This is Dr. Ginny. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, hi. You're on live with Dr. Ginny. How can I help you tonight?
Oh, hi, Dr. Ginny. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. How can I help you?
Sure. I had a question concerning career. And I am looking for another position. And I do have a job right now, but like I said, I have been applying for positions since December last year, and I continue to do so throughout since the year began as well in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to see what you were picking up for me.
What I can see. Okay, well, the first thing I want to tell you is I'm sensing that you're in a career, some kind of career that helps people. Is this correct?
Right now I do more kind of like working with computers and testing applications. But,
okay.
I've always, I guess before I was more of a, at the same company, more of a customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Doing
client
kind of role, but that was in the past, and now I do something more related to my career for what I went to school.
And you don't want to continue to do the job that helps people, but what I do see is that you enjoyed doing the helpful part, but it also got very frustrating for you. I also see that you want to move ahead in the computer science area, the part that you're in now. Your concern, though, is that, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, even though you have some experience, some of the jobs that you're applying for, you're thinking, well, I have experience, but they're not calling me, and you don't understand that, right?
Actually, this year I got some calls, but one of the calls, the company was, it was on the technical side, but it also had a lot of phone work, which, I guess mm-hmm. just to get it and I didn't mind. But when push comes to shove and all that, the thing is that they found it a little too far. The
mm-hmm.
other one was also a big company, and I never miss my calls and voicemails, but I missed that one, and I got the voicemail a few weeks later. And like, wow. But the thing is, when I researched the company, they had a high turnaround. So I figured, that wasn't a job for me. But, yeah, I've experienced that, some of that, and I had my resume revamped.
Good.
It was the beginning of this year, and I'm customizing each resume and cover letter.
I sent out
a few already this year. I sent out another one yesterday as well, and I contacted an HR manager and just to make sure that he, receives it. But they said they have a mutual interest. They'll call me back, and he hung up. So there's not much I could do. But yeah, I've been experiencing, no callbacks. And a few things I got is what I told you. So,
yeah. The one thing I can tell you, Cindy, that I'm sensing is that you kind of have some unique qualities because you have both the engineer mentality, but you also have what I call the creative mentality. So that's an unusual mix. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So that's an unusual mix, and because you have it, you need to cater your resume, to fit those two unique personality traits because that is something that's a rare find in an individual for a company, to have the two interrelated skills, and you know it, right? Okay.
Right.
I know it because I am who I am. You know it because you're you, but you've got to make sure the companies know it. Because that combination of characteristics, you often do not find. Okay, so I need you to focus your next resume that you put together, really focus on having the whole package, because it's a rare find and it's something they'll jump all over once they see it. But usually they're looking at a resume that's either totally with the creative mindset, which is the customer service end, you know what I'm talking about, or the engineer mindset,
right,
which is where you do the computer work. But you have the combination of the two, and that enables you to be able to get involved in that and still have people like you, okay? And you know what I'm talking about,
right?
Okay,
right, because
a lot of people
there, right, they're not like more customer service oriented. They're not people first, and put it that way.
Listen, I know. That's why I hate to keep referring to Saturday Night Live, but we've all seen the skits where the computer guys get called into the office and they make you feel like a total idiot because you don't know anything that you're doing, but they do and they fix it in 2 seconds. But the truth is, a lot of your computer people don't, and again, please don't anybody get offended, but a lot of times they don't excel necessarily in the personality department and in customer service, like you said. But you have the combination of the two, which means that you would be very good at heading a department. And I don't think you're going to get a job at heading the department right away, but I do see that you're going to get a job in the next 3 to 4 months if you cater your resume to reflect those two great, fantastic personality traits that you have that need to be brought out to a prospective employer.
Right. Actually, like I said, in my resume, you no longer have the objective. You have, like,
right,
your billboard statement. I don't know if you know what that means.
Yes, they sure do.
And in there, I have a lot of the keywords that, you know, not only the position is looking for, but a lot of the keywords, I put them more towards, you know, that I'm working well with people, I work well in a team, I multitask, and all those things. And also in the jobs I've done, they can see it. And each and one of them, I've always had to be dealing with people. So, you know, I keep that in mind.
Very good. I'm going to tell you a little secret, and this secret goes out to everybody who's out there. I'm going to tell you a secret how it's easier to get jobs and it's easier to get any article you ever write printed. Okay, this is the secret. It makes such great common sense, you're going to laugh. I want you to see, especially if you're dealing with a larger company, usually the head of HR puts out some kind of statement, little newsletter, something like that. See if you can online access a newsletter from that company where the HR department has put out some kind of statement. And look at the terminology, HR, human resources. Look at the terminology that's used in that newsletter, in that column that the HR director has written, and pick out, like, certain words that they use all the time and reflect that in your resume. And you'll find that they just feel this instant, I call it simpatico, this instant connection with you. I used to do that with editors. Whenever I submitted a piece, I would read their editorial first, and I picked out two or three words that they loved to hit on, and then I used those words in the piece. I made sure that they were central in the piece, and they never got declined because they felt a comfort level with it. So you want the same thing with theirs. So see, and maybe you'll make that as part of your billboard statement. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. So,
okay, so look for that,
too. Very good advice, and I appreciate it because I have so much material. And trust me, it's like a second job, because the way I'm handling all this.
I try
to be organized.
I think it sounds like you're making every effort, and I think you need to tweak it just a little bit. And sometimes just in tweaking it a little bit is all the difference in the world between success and failure. So tweak it just a little bit, like I said. See if you can get a hold of a column that the head of HR has written and insert those words in there. Make it maybe part of your billboard statement, and make sure you submit, because that's the key there, okay? Get the resumes out, because if they don't see it, they can't hire you. Rather send, if you're not sure, send it anyway, okay?
Right. So what you're saying is the next 2 to 3 months, you show me like
I see the I see the next, did I say 2 to 3? Because I thought I said 3 to 4, but if I could be wrong. I'm seeing in my mind the number 3. If anything, it might be 4, but definitely 3 I'm seeing is a strong number for you. So I think if you continue to do what you're doing with those little tweaks and those changes I suggested, I think you're going to be very successful because, again, you have a unique combination of character traits.
Right.
Okay,
now, I was concerned about as far as where I'm at. And things are not that great. I don't know if you're picking up anything of my present company.
Right.
I just wanted to see, you know, if I'm going to stay here to move on to the next position, or do you think they'll let me go?
Right now, what I'm seeing is that you're going to stay on. I see
okay.
that you're going to probably stay on for at least another 2 months, so that's important,
uh-huh.
okay? Since we know that the other one's coming around the corner, that should make you not fearful, okay?
Oh, so you're saying that it's like probably after 2 months people let me go?
Well, I see. I'm just being shown that for the next 2 months you're definitely solid.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Cindy.
Right.
So I wouldn't worry about that at all because I'm seeing for the next 2 months you're solid. And we know the other thing is slated to happen in 3 months, give a week or two. So I think you're going to be just fine, okay?
Okay.
All right. Cindy,
all right.
Thank you so much
Very
for
much.
Calling in. You're welcome. Have a blessed Easter Sunday, okay?
Thank you. You too, Dr. Jenny.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. What a pleasant girl.
Yeah.
That was nice. And all she needs to do is make some changes, and she's going to be just fine. She really has a very unique combination, so that's really good because you always have that engineer mentality, but to get that customer service mentality with
yeah,
it,
yeah, that's
well,
an odd combo.
Yeah, it's a great combo. I mean, it's something that companies are always looking for, so it's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing. We'll be back.
I hope you'll never lose your sense of wonder. Get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leaves you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice, sit it out or dance. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. Chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some helping heart lead you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice, sit it out, what a dance. I hope you dance.
Want to be able to talk to me live and have a personal reading done?
visit my website at www.drginny.com. That's www.drginny.com. You can get a personal in-depth reading, or you can check out who's going to be on our show next week right here on Blog Talk Radio at the Christian Psychic Cafe. Don't forget, drginny.com, or call a toll-free number at 1-800-375-3446. And you're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I see that we have another caller on the line, so I'm going to go to her right now. Her name is Valerie. Hi, Valerie. You're live on the air with Dr. Ginny. How can I help you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Good. I'd like to know if I'm still on track to meet a long-term relationship in, I think it was May or June.
May or June. Let me take a look here and see what I'm getting. We've spoken before?
No, first time on air.
Okay, but have I done a private reading for you?
No, we were supposed to set one up, but things kind of got confused.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to tell you that, because you're telling me that you were supposed to have one in May, and I'm actually going to confirm that that's supposed to happen. And I don't know where you got that information from, but whoever gave it to you is correct, okay?
Oh, great.
And the other thing I want to say is you're kind of highly psychic yourself, aren't you? You have very strong intuition, let's put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that. And I also see that that you were almost given a sign that May is the month that this was going to happen. Is that true?
I'm not sure about that. I got a sense, but I'm not really 100% sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to validate that for you because I'm being shown that that's correct. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. I know that you wanted to have a relationship. I'm not so sure you wanted to get married, but I do see marriage is going to be the eventual thing for you.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I know that you would have been okay just having a really great love companion, but am I right?
Mm-hmm.
But I actually see that marriage is in the cards for you, and that's why they're showing it to me that way, because it's, I think, even more than what you could have hoped for, okay? I do see that that's in the cards for you. I also see that one of the things that you had to do before the right relationship came into place was that you had to look deeper into some things involving other issues that have gone on in the past. Is that correct?
Sure,
come to terms with those things, mm-hmm. and you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And self-evaluation can be really tough, but yet you've had the courage to do that, and God bless you for doing that, because now you're finally ready for the relationship, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You're finally ready for the relationship.
So would this be a long-term relationship, and can you tell me a little bit about it?
I can tell you I see the relationship coming. I cannot tell you whether or not it's going to be a long-term relationship, and the reason why I say that is I'm not getting an answer on whether or not it's going to be a long-term relationship, but I do see it's going to be a relationship, and I do see that you're going to be married within the next 36 months. You will actually be married, okay?
Oh.
So I can't tell you that that is the one, but I do see that relationship coming up. But I also do see that a marriage is going to take place in the next 36 months. So that's kind of like a win-win situation, isn't it?
Yes.
that's a very good thing. So I see that coming up, and I think for you, and this is the thing, like, you're ready for it. You know what I'm saying? You've worked,
yes,
through the issues. You're ready for it. You also know what you're willing to put up with. See, this is the thing I'm going to tell you, because this is the thing about you. Some women, they go through stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, the next guy that comes, he catches heck for what all the other people have done, you know? And the woman comes on too strong, too self-righteous, too, you know, I'm going to get my point across. But you've dealt with everything that's gone on, and you're that nice, happy medium now where you realize, okay, you're going to still let them get away with little stuff, but you're also, you know, you're going to know when to call your fights and when not to call your fights. You know what I mean?
Right. Pick the battles.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. You know why? That's exactly what I was thinking, but the words wouldn't come out.
you know how to pick your battles exactly, and you're only, and there are some things you're going to let slide, but you see, you know, you've got a comfort level with yourself now that you haven't had in a long time, and that's going to make it a lot easier. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I see that. Yeah, good. Well, is there any other question I can answer for you?
Yeah, I was wondering about career. I had applied to certain temp agencies just to work like in spurts, not a full-time job, but just maybe contract work, assignments like 3 months at a time. And
right.
I've been getting a few false starts, and I kind of want to know if that's going to settle out.
Okay. Well, first of all, the false starts have nothing to do with you. You know that, right?
Okay.
You weren't sure about that, though, were you?
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I know. That's why it was revealed to me that you need to know that. The false starts have nothing to do with you. It's not your fault. These false starts all started and had issues in other ways, had nothing to do with you, so take that right out of your mind and wipe it away, okay? Don't let that get in there. The other thing is I do see that those jobs are going to increase, and within the next, you know, you're going to get them sporadically, but when you hit the seven-month mark from this point, 7 months from now, they're going to be a lot more, and you're going to be working as often as you actually want to work.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Okay.
It's going to take that long. So, you know, this isn't like, okay, it'll happen tomorrow or next month. I'm not going to. What I'm seeing is when you'll get them sporadically between now and then, for sure, but when you hit that seven-month mark, it'll be your choice to turn them down.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have
to come in. Mm-hmm. Right, because I didn't really want to be controlled. I want to kind of work like, okay, no, I want that assignment. No, I don't want that assignment because I don't really have to work every day.
Right, of course. I get that, yeah. And why should you? You don't need all that stress, right?
Right. I want to just fly light.
Yeah, you know what? I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. And I think that makes a lot of sense. So I would say to you that give it, you know, you're going to have them sporadically, and then all of a sudden you're going to be able to pick and choose, because literally you'll have so many to choose from. You'll be the one deciding which ones you really want to take on and which ones you don't.
Okay. Do you see something coming up within the next few months or further down?
I see something coming up, well, within the next 3 weeks, actually. I think you're going to get a temp job in the next 3 weeks, and then I don't see you're going to get one. Then you'll be on that one for a little bit. Then you'll have a little downtime. Then you'll get offered another one. I wouldn't worry too much about your temp job, okay, because they're going to come through. They're going to come through on a fairly regular basis, okay?
Okay, and you see me doing quite well?
Yes, I actually do see you doing quite well, and the thing that I see is the one thing that, as you probably already know, the money's okay. It's not outrageous, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what you like is working in an environment and having some of the socialization that comes with it. But you don't like to be in any negative environments. I can sense that about you. I mean, that seems
right.
Like, let me correct that, because anyone could say, well, you don't like to be in a negative environment. Of course, no one does. But you're highly sensitive to it, and you are not going to put up with it, correct?
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I sense that there was something that has gone on in your past that made you very strong in that area, correct?
Oh, yeah, many years back, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I handled it with grace and ease at the time,
Amen.
But it was difficult.
Well, God bless
yeah.
you, because you had an angel on your shoulder, because let me tell you, that's exactly the right way to have handled it. And I see that for you. That's the most important thing is harmony in your life, and you're going to have it, and you're not going to let anybody take it from you, and that is such a strong integrity that you have for that, and I'm just so pleased to sense that energy in you. That's a really good
thing.
Well,
thank you, because I certainly called on God at the time that I was in that predicament, and what happened was the voice just told me what to do, and I just followed it to the T. And it worked out so beautifully. It was
God bless.
It was beautiful.
See, that's what
yes.
faith can do for you. God will always be there for you. And I mean this for everybody. You know, he doesn't leave us in the lurch. He's always there. We have to open our ears. We need to ask for the help. He is there for us. And you were so blessed that you did that, you know. That's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're very welcome.
Well,
thank you very much for the reading.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a happy Easter, okay? And thank you for calling into the show. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Take care now, Valerie. You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye. What a sweet woman. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, everybody, I don't want you to forget to mark your calendars for April 27th, next Wednesday night. Our show is going to be Saints. So what's so special about them? Our show is going to tell you what they did to become saints, because they are special. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to like it. You're going to be shocked. I know the more I studied saints, the more I was like, wow, this is awesome. And some of the things they did, how they had the courage to do those things, I don't know. And now we're going to have LaQuequay come in, and she is going to pick a LaQuequay is our producer, and she's going to be picking our email reading. So come on in. Thank you for coming in. She doesn't want anyone. You know what's so funny? She talks to the callers when they come in, but she doesn't want anyone to hear, and she doesn't want to go live on the air. Okay, I'm going to ask you. We've got all those emails in the box. Swish them up real good. Okay, swish them, swish them, swish them, swish them. And then reach in and pull one out. If you will hand it to me, that would be awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, so this is the winner this week for the free 30-minute in-depth reading with myself to take place not on air. And I will email this person and let them know first thing in the morning. I will only state her first name is Mary Lou, and she is from New Orleans, Louisiana. And you know what? You're right, Mary Lou. You are very blessed. Your beliefs and your spirit make you very blessed. And I'm happy to be able to do a reading for you, so I will contact you in the morning. Hopefully you're listening, and if you are, yes, you are the winner. So,
yay,
so
Mary
you'll get
Lou.
Yay. And now wait, I have a sound effect for this. Now everybody lower your sound. Here we go.
Perfect.
That was my official sound effect for the person who won that.
Wow.
And I know.
Other than the mailbox, you are cool.
I know. I have the mailbox and the applause, you know. Everyone's got to have a little something. I kind of like that. And you know what's really neat? I want everybody else to send in emails. Again, you don't have to say anything. If you know, just, hey, put me in the drawing, whatever. I will enter you into the drawing so that next week hopefully we'll be able to pull your name out as well. But don't forget to listen to our show next week, because it's going to be really, really good.
Sounds like an exciting show.
Well, it's going to be an exciting show, and I think what we're going to find out is, you know, how did these saints come to be?
Absolutely. So, and, hey, quick question before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
You know, you talked previously about your Moldavite. You wear it around your neck
every
day. I know it's done wonderful things for your life. Can you briefly explain that real quick?
I'll tell you what, I will explain it, but I'll wait till next week. Let's put that on the agenda next week, because Moldavite is an amazing stone of transformation. It's believed to have been what the Holy Grail was made out of, and a chalice that Jesus actually drank out of at the Last Dinner. Yeah,
wow.
The Last Supper, at the Last Dinner.
Dinner, yeah. Supper, same idea.
Yeah, but no, it's an amazing stone, and it has worked. I think it's a miracle, stone of miracles, and I'll explain that next week. It's called Moldavite. Really hard to get real Moldavite, because it only is found in one place, because it fell literally from heaven is how it's described.
Wow.
So, yeah, and so I'll tell you what we're going to do today. In closing, we're going to actually say a prayer, since next week's show is focusing on saints. I'm going to say a prayer from the prayer of St. Francis, and we'll close our show with this, okay? O Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, harmony. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sorrow, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Look forward to you coming back next week, tuning in. And again, God bless. Have a wonderful Easter.
Thank you.